Do you like exclusive stuff?
Yes, sir.
Do you like having access to your favourite podcast hosts in a way like never before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you wish you had access to our old Survivor Oz episodes that you can't find anywhere else online?
Oh, yeah!
If you answered yes to one, two, or all of those questions, then get excited because the Oz Network is now on Patreon! That's right, your favourite podcast has jumped on the Patreon bandwagon to enable a better listening experience for you, our listener. Wow. For more details, simply head to www.patreon.com/OzNetwork, where you can sign up for as little as $3 a month. It'll be the best decision you make since that last bad one you made. You're listening to the Oz Movies Podcast, only on the Oz Network.
Welcome to the Oz Network for another special movie review of a new movie, which are coming so frequently that we can actually do two of these back-to-back.
Is there an echo in here?
We'll get to the echo in a second. We're here to talk about Tom Clancy's Without Remorse. That's right, Tom Clancy is back from the grave, making movies now, or at least movies are being made about books Tom Clancy wrote years and years ago before he died, sadly. And I'm excited because this is the first Tom Clancy thing we've ever been able to cover on the Oz Network. I would just do Tom Clancy Oz if I could, but we can't because nobody else watches this, apparently, except for one person who's here with me today. So we're going to be talking about Without Remorse, the 2021 Tom Clancy adaptation, the first big screen Tom Clancy adaptation in probably about 10 years since Jack Ryan, the first non-Jack Ryan Tom Clancy adaptation. How many times can we fit Tom Clancy into this intro here? Let's try one more time. As we're here to talk about Tom Clancy's Without Remorse, my name is Colin, and this isn't Rainbow Six.
My name is Jamie, and I wasn't ready with the line. Oops.
Not surprising. Now, let's just start off before we get into the episode. Two things funny that happened before we started this. One, I mean, Jamie and I, we're married. We're not breaking into a quarantine to be on the episode together. We are next to each other in studio at the same time. And hey, we got a microphone.
Stop talking to us being so intimate. You don't want to give people the wrong
idea. Oh, that's
right.
I don't want people to give the wrong idea about our marriage here, that we're like intimate or anything. But 3 kids on 2 tries. Work out the math on that.
You know, the more you make over yourself to look more like Bob Ross, the more
enough. I said no more Bob Ross on this one. So before we started recording, we got the microphone here. Jamie looks at me.
Paintbrushes.
Jamie looks. She's trying to change the topic. She looks at me so serious. Looks right at me and says, "Wait, don't we need headphones?" And I'm like, "What for?" Well, won't there be an echo? Like, are we putting the headphones on the microphone?
You know what threw me off is I've seen you like video chatting with Ben when you guys have recorded stuff and he has headphones, but that's so he can hear you.
Right, exactly, because we're in different locations.
Right,
that's the way it works.
Okay,
you're sitting next to me. You can hear me. No headphones required.
Okay.
Secondly, literally a second before we hit record, we have a false start that will not make air. Jamie says, you can take the lead on this one," as if you have ever taken the lead on any episode ever.
No, I'm too lazy for that.
Usually too lazy to even be on these, but we watched Mortal Kombat, 2 weeks ago, and
I liked the movie. It was pretty good.
I didn't care for it, but
you're not a Mortal Kombat fan, but
I'm a fan of the video games. I just don't care for the movie.
Okay, but are you really, though? Because even when I would try to get you to play with me, you wouldn't. But let's stay on topic, okay? But you are a huge Tom Clancy fan for all the games.
Yeah, well, forget the games, the books. I mean, let's talk about Tom Clancy before we talk about Without Remorse. Because, I mean, I'm not going to give away too much here, but there's not that much to talk about with the Without Remorse movie. We haven't really discussed since we saw it a couple days ago what our feelings are, but more excited to talk about anything else Tom Clancy. So, Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, those came out when I was a kid. I remember the lead up to Clear and Present Danger more. Now, I was aware that Hunt for Red October and Patriot Games were the same franchise, but I was too young to really get it at the time, or even, you know, really be able to see the movies. But around the time Clear Present Danger came out, and I sort of became aware this is all one franchise, I remember watching Hunt for Red October one day, and I very clearly remember, we probably would be looking at about maybe a year before Clear Present Danger comes out, so maybe I don't even know that movie exists yet. homesick from school.
Did you have COVID?
Yeah, I had COVID in 1993, yes.
Okay, well, the COVID virus isn't new. This is just a new mutation.
Yeah, because Jamie does lots of research into things.
No, but, like, seriously, it's not new, so why didn't they come out with, like, in
COVID 16, 17, 18?
A vaccine, like, you know, centuries ago.
Let's save that for COVID Oz coming soon. Anyways, so I was homesick. The previous day, I had gone to school feeling fine. I still can't tell you what happened. About two-thirds of the way through the day, I just got so wiped out. And I remember sort of having my head on my desk. It was one of these afternoons where there's not much going on.
Is that why you don't ever eat hot dogs anymore?
What does a hot dog have to do with this?
Is that what wiped you out?
No.
Is that what you have against hot dogs?
No. They're disgusting is what I have against them. But anyways, I was so wiped out. I remember my teacher even coming up and being like, whoa, you're very feverish. And it was so close to the end of the school day that it's just like, hey, you know what? Maybe you should, you know, bundle up right now and...
pretty sure it was COVID, but they just didn't anyways, know.
I went home. My mom took my temperature and it was something like 103. Like, it was really high. I mean, for what? A 12-year-old, 11-year-old, whatever I was at the time. So the next day...
Sissy.
The next day, even though I was feeling fine, it was like, hey, your temperature was way too high yesterday. You're staying from school. And Hunt for October, I think she had just gotten on pay-per-view and re-recorded it. So I watched it. I'm like, oh, it's got a submarine. And I loved it, even though I was, again, probably still a little bit young to really get it. I loved Hunt for October.
Well, that's the one with Sean Connery, right?
Yeah, and when Alec Baldwin was playing Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
So then Patriot Games, I see that. Clear and Present Danger, I see that. When I'm probably around, I don't know, 12, 13, I kind of want to read more advanced books. You know, I was done with... Yeah, I don't know, young adult novels or whatever it would be at the time. And I just remember going to a bookstore and being like, you know, I want to read something that's a little bit more mature. And it wasn't a porn shop, not that type of mature. But one of the things I want to get, I want to get a Tom Clancy book. So I got the Cardinal and the Kremlin. Different type of mature.
I was going to say, your idea of porn is watching the TLC video with them in their silk pajamas.
Yeah, exactly. TLC's Creep. That's pornography, isn't it?
That's your porn.
Yes. Anyways, so speeding up this long story before we get to Without Remorse, which we don't really have much to say about, Tom Clancy's Cardinal and the Kremlin, which is the second Jack Ryan book. I remember getting that from the library, loving it, and really just devouring a lot of those early Tom Clancy books. Now, I kind of explained this to you that Tom Clancy made his career off of Jack Ryan and another character, John Clark, a.k.a. John Kelly in this movie, / John Clark, whatever. A character that was introduced in, I think, The Cardinal and the Kremlin, and then also appeared in Clear and Present Danger. Then he wants to go back and tell the origin story of this side character, John Clark, which is what Without Remorse the book was. I've never read the book Without Remorse. We'll get to some of my reasons why when we cover this movie. But important background there. I mean, this is a huge character. He later decided he would do something that took place in the same timeline as the Jack Ryans with Rainbow Six, which obviously spawned a huge video game franchise. I have, I don't know, probably the first four or five Rainbow Six games on PC. I have Rainbow Six Vegas. I have a bunch of Rainbow Six games. Ghost Recon, anything Tom Clancy touches. I mean, I'm a huge fan of. Why are you laughing?
PC games. Who plays PC anymore?
Don't you remember I got it for my birthday one year with friends of ours? Hello, Carlo and Lori, for listening.
Your age is
I'm
showing.
I'm sure they're listening. How is it? You were there when they gave me the presents.
No, nobody plays PC. You spit on me.
You spit on a lot of things. again, no worries about COVID here. But... it was one of these big sets that had the games in it, and then it had merchandise,
right,
too.
I remember I had what you're talking about.
I had a Rainbow Six shirt.
The bag and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Tote bag and mouse pad. Yeah,
yeah, I remember now.
Anything Tom Clancy, I love it. So, yes, long story short, I'm a big fan. But I never read the Without Remorse book. Now, you do know Clear and Present Danger, Patriot Games, Hunt for October. I've definitely shown you those.
Yes, but I had no exposure to anything... with those brands before you. So short story short, I have nothing else to say on that.
But it
was good. I enjoyed them. And Harrison Ford was in it and Sean Connery. So, I mean, they were hot guys.
Yes. And Willem Dafoe. Did you know Willem Dafoe was the first guy to play John Clark?
You know, he is like really ugly looking, but he looks like he'd be really nasty and
good
in bed.
I know you've told me this before.
Yeah, like seriously, I mean, he looks really ugly, but I'd let him go down on me.
All right, I think we've had this conversation before. Maybe on the air.
I think his tongue would be really
okay,
nice.
Okay, okay. Anyways.
Better than Bob Ross's.
All right, all right. Willem Dafoe played John Clark in Clear and Present Danger when they rebooted the Jack Ryan franchise with Some of All Fears, which is a hit and miss movie. Liev Schreiber played John Clark. Now, Michael B. Jordan.
Is that the guy from the Phantoms movie?
Yeah, most people know Liev Schreiber from, I don't know, of the other very well-respected...
That's the movie I was trying to tell you that would be a good present for me, Phantoms. There you go.
Okay.
It's one of those, like, really, like, cheesy B-movies that, yeah.
If anybody's seen Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, I think it was...
Never seen it.
There's an ongoing joke in that movie every time Ben Affleck comes up. People are always saying, like, oh, Ben Affleck sucks. Now, the joke being that Ben Affleck's in all of Kevin Smith's movies, and even cameos, I think, is himself in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. So they're always mentioning Ben Affleck, saying, Ben Affleck, that guy sucks. And they'll be like, except from Phantom, he was the bomb in Phantoms. That's you. You're this weird person whenever Liev Schreiber or Ben Affleck appears on screens, you know what movie I loved? Phantoms.
It was great.
I'm not saying it wasn't okay, but like that's not what most people think of. Liev Schreiber, they're thinking Manchurian Candidate. Or, I don't know, Ray Donovan or something like that. But probably Wolverine.
I've never heard of those either.
We've never heard of Wolverine?
Yeah, I've heard of
that. He played Sabretooth?
Yeah, he was okay in that, but he was really good in Phantoms.
All right. So, yeah. Long story short again, ranking the John Clarks. Michael B. Jordan is going to be second on my list. Liev Schreiber would be higher, but Liev Schreiber should have played Jack Ryan and Ben Affleck should have played John Clark. That's just personal preference. But anyways... This character's been on screen before, and now it's Michael B. Jordan. Now, we've finally gotten here. What did you think about Without Remorse?
It was okay. I mean,
episode done. That's why we said we had nothing to talk about.
I don't know if I would actually ever buy it, but I mean, if it was on TV, I probably wouldn't change the channel.
So this was supposed to be theatrically released. Obviously, COVID stopped that. And ends up released on Amazon Prime, which I'm glad, because right now theaters are closed down for who knows how many months straight, and they're not reopening here in Manitoba anytime soon. And Without Remorse is one of these movies that I've been so excited about. This has been in the works for a long time. Tom Clancy actually wrote, I didn't even realize this, Tom Clancy wrote the book Without Remorse. We're talking over a decade before his first novel, Hunt for Red October, even came out, before Jack Ryan was even thought about. He was writing about Without Remorse back in the early 70s, where the book takes place. And he didn't publish it until 1993 when sort of he had been working on Clear and Present Danger a few years prior to that, decided I'll use this John Clark character that I had for my first book that was never finished. And then he's like, well, I kind of want to go back and, you know, finish the John Clark story. So that's how Without Remorse comes out. This movie I was super excited about. I remember hearing about it. I originally heard that they were going to be adapting Without Remorse back during the Chris Pine Jack Ryan movie, Shadow Recruit. At that point, Kevin Costner had been hired to play the mentor to Jack Ryan in Shadow Recruit, and it was a dual deal. It was like, he's going to be in this, and he's also going to be in Without Remorse. So this movie got close to being made 10 years ago. Finally, it comes out now, and I got to say, did not live up to the hype.
Yeah, I mean, there was one part of the movie which was really exciting and cool. And it's not going to be a huge spoiler to talk about it, but because you can see it kind of in ads and stuff where he's putting all this water on his body and he's shirtless and things like that. And he's like getting pumped to fight people, you know?
Well, okay, so...
I was very excited.
Yeah, all right. He's still in good shape. He's not like... We see him in good shape in Creed, but he's kept up the physique. Creed, Black Panther. This is just Michael B. Jordan has become... another shirtless guy, I guess.
Yeah, he's not too bad. He's okay.
But there's nothing against Michael B. Jordan. I actually thought Michael B. Jordan was good as John Clark. But two things. One, I never read the novel Without Remorse for a few reasons. One, that was when Tom Clancy's novel started getting a little bit longer. I think it was like 600 or 700 pages. And at the time, that seemed like a bit much for me. I was like, okay, 450 pages for Clear and Present Danger. Whew, that's a big task for, you know, 12-year-old or whatever. But the second reason is because I was introduced to John Clark's character in Cardinal the Kremlin, Clear and Present Danger. There's a lot more mystery about him. And I never liked the idea about having that mystery spoiled, you know? So going back and retelling the origin story. Now, I'm familiar with the story of Without Remorse. I have read up, this is what happens in it. None of the book is in this movie. I mean, really what it comes down to, what they took out of the book for this movie was what the setup of the movie is, what the trailer shows. He's trying to get revenge for his wife dying, and it leads him on this mission.
That's a spoiler.
It's in the trailer, Jamie. Oh, it's not
my,
a spoiler.
Oh, my goodness. So, seriously, like, the wife being pregnant and dying, that was, like, the worst.
Yeah, that's in the trailer,
that,
so we're not
spoiling. That was really hard to watch, though.
But that's all there is in the book. That and maybe a small moment at the end so that sort of leads into, you know, what's going to be the next movie, Rainbow Six. They are making that, which I'm glad. That's it. The rest of this story is completely original. And they've done original stories for Jack Ryan instead of relying on, I would love if they just kept relying on some of the books. There's so many unadapted ones. But Shadow Recruit, you know, the one with Chris Pine, that was a completely original story. The first two seasons of the Jack Ryan TV show, completely original stories. I think those movies did it better. This story just wasn't that interesting. I mean, it's almost way too simple. And if you read up on what the story of the Without Remorse book is, that's almost way too complicated. So I get trying to dumb it down a little bit, but they really dumbed it down. And to me, outside of a couple of sequences here and there, this did not feel like Tom Clancy. Tom Clancy is way more thinking than he is action. If you have an action
like
scene...
strategy. Well, there is a lot of strategy in the other movies.
And,
yeah.
And like, that's the thing. Jack Ryan
is... But I'll have to take your word for it, though, because, I mean, you're the expert on this. I've literally only ever just seen those movies that you've shown me. I've never read any of the books. I've never read any of the books. I've never played any of the games. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Jack Ryan is an analyst, so it makes more sense for Jack Ryan to be less action heavy. It's not even the amount of action in this movie that bothers me. Rainbow Six, the novel, which I did read because it took place later, and I didn't feel like that was spoiling the John Clark, you know, mystery. Rainbow Six has a ton of action in it because John Clark is more of, he's a soldier, you know, he's a covert soldier. It's not the amount of action in this movie that bothers me, because I think they nailed the action. It's the fact that there is almost no story whatsoever. It sort of goes from, yes, I want to find out what happened to my wife or who ordered this hit. And then it leads him into being part of this group, and they go on a mission that essentially leads to nothing. Yeah, and cue last minute scene that's going to set up Rainbow Six, the movie that people are actually really excited about. What's sad about this is Without Remorse is, depending on where you read it, considered to be one of the better Tom Clancy novels. And everywhere I look, you find different opinions, but I have seen multiple sources say Without Remorse right up there with like Dead of Honor and, you know, Patriot Games or Clear and Present Danger is like the best Tom Clancy book. But it's just, there was really no story here. I mean, I'm struggling to remember anything significant in this movie past the 20-minute mark that wasn't just, here's another action sequence.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was pretty forgettable. But, you know, it's one of those things, like, there's a good way to do different type of things where you're laying out a story and you're trying to surprise the audience and you're trying to have everything be super intelligent. And the only other thing I can think of to kind of describe what I'm trying to say is, like, do you remember the Mission Impossible movie with the bad guy? And then no, listen,
which one was it that had the bad guy?
Listen,
hold on,
the one who had like the weird voice, and then there was that girl that was in the movie that you said was hot.
What?
Okay, what was it? It was when they were trying to capture that bad guy.
You've described every Mission Impossible movie.
The guy who was like the head of like the terrorist organization.
Oh my goodness. Okay, are you talking about Rogue Nation?
I don't know.
Solomon Lane?
That one, yeah.
He has a weird voice? Okay.
And there's the girl that's in it.
Ilsa, yeah.
Yeah. And so the way that they lay out that story and everything, they try to surprise you, and it's intelligent and it's well thought out, yeah. And it's like it's building.
There's,
you know?
Exactly. You don't need twists as in, hey, there's a big M. Night Shyamalan twist. But you need the story to go somewhere other from just... Stories go from point A to point B to point C. There's connecting dots. This movie goes from point A to point D. It skips the two middle parts. It's like, we've got our beginning, we've got our end, here's a couple action sequences
but
in the middle.
But you know what I'm saying, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, that type of story.
Yeah, there's...
I don't
and
even
again,
know how to
Rogue
describe
Nation
it.
Is probably one of the simpler Mission Impossible movies. But I think that's even a better example of why, you know, you could have done this. Because again, Tom Clancy is not about the fact that Jack Ryan is less action, more thinking. John Clark is more action, less thinking. Both have twists in the story. Both have story progression. This didn't have story progression at all.
Yeah.
And Michael B. Jordan, I mean, he does what he can with this. I still don't say he's as good as Willem Dafoe. I think part of that is because Willem Dafoe has the luxury of, there's the mystery about the character. Yeah, great. Hmm. Mm-hmm. There's the mystery about the character still.
I like that mystery. I want to solve that mystery.
I did feel that like they didn't rob us of the mystery of John Clark because there was so little in the story. So the faults of the movie have preserved the character for me. But one other thing I want to talk about, the rest of the cast in this movie, a lot of wasted talent. I mean, Guy Pearce is in this movie. We watched it a couple days ago. I barely remember who Guy Pearce was supposed to be in this movie. Like, what was he doing in this?
He was the... What was his official title? Was it the director?
He was like a CIA director, yeah.
Yeah.
But what does he do in the movie, you know? Why does he need to be there?
Well, he's just kind of like the head honcho and reviewing everything. But again, his character was really weak because, you know, I don't want to spoil the movie and things like that for how everything ends. But it's... You get to the end of the movie and it's like, oh, okay, well, all right. Because, I mean, the character, how they lay him out to be in the end, you know, is he good, is he bad, you know, what's his bigger role in this? You don't really feel like...
There's not a lot of resolution.
You don't really care that much.
The resolution is... we always say this, like, oh, we're not trying to spoil anything. This doesn't spoil anything. This movie lacks resolution while trying to convince you there is a resolution to it.
Yeah.
Jamie Bell is in this movie. He plays the other character that comes from the Tom Clancy series.
Good name.
Bell. No, fantastic.
Jamie,
yes. On a man or a woman. He plays...
That reminds me of that one line that my brother had said when we were randomly watching a movie many years ago. Do you remember? We were watching the Terminator movie.
My brother Josh. Worthington came on. Sam Worthington, I think we've mentioned this before, he just kisses a nun for no reason at all. And you're like, why would he do that? Or why would she let him do that? And he says something that's like, what woman wouldn't want him to? Or man?
and my brother was like completely straight at the time.
He's like, I love what you say at the time. No, but he was like, wait, what did I just say? Like, he didn't realize.
Well, I haven't talked to him in like 2 years.
But Jamie Bell's playing a character, Robert Ritter, who's... in the other Tom Clancy books, he's in Clear and Present Danger. He is sort of the main... I don't even think you could call him villain in Clear and Present Danger. We recently interviewed Joaquin de la Almeida, who is on 24. You can listen to it. It came out a couple weeks ago in our archives there. Joaquin de la Almeida played the main villain in Clear and Present Danger. But another one of the shadier characters was Robert Ritter in Clear and Present Danger. Jamie Bell's playing a younger version of him. I did like what they did with his character in this movie. But again, I feel like you have to have that appreciation for that character in Clear and Present Danger to really care about him in this. I feel like if I were you and probably didn't remember who Ritter was in Clear and Present Danger, you would just be like, oh, okay, so why are they just flip-flopping on this guy? What's he supposed to be? Why do I care?
Yeah, I mean...
But great name.
Great name.
The other character, Greer, what is it? Karen Greer in this movie. So I can't remember if I told you this or not, but did I tell you the significance to the female lead in this movie, the commanding officer, Karen Greer?
Yeah, because it was supposed to be the person who was played by James Earl Jones.
So James Earl Jones' character, Admiral Greer, he is probably the second lead character in all the Jack Ryan books and movies. James Earl Jones played him in the original, and he's on the TV show now, too.
And did they do this just because they felt like they needed more womanly presence?
Well, maybe, but here's the thing. Greer, the character of Greer, is in Without Remorse as well, like before he ever meets Jack Ryan. Maybe they just wanted to maintain that, but they're like, let's make it a female character. The reason it bothered me in watching the movie was because I kind of secretly was hoping for we would get a crossover at some point. I am very much over Marvel style crossovers where everything has to be crossover. I mean, I like the Avengers, I like the Marvel movies, but I'm really tired of every single Marvel movie having to have somebody else in it. Having to have a 5-minute long scene with the Falcon in the middle of an Ant-Man movie, to me, was just cheap because it lessens the impact of Ant-Man, his own movie. And it's like you have to explain to the audience why these characters know each other because they have plans 6 movies from now. I don't like the overuse of crossovers in movies. But the fact that they have a modern day Jack Ryan TV show going on right now, and they have this modern day John Clark franchise that they're starting, kind of made me hope, hey, we can get some type of crossover here. Whether they do it or not, you know, whatever. But I just read today that this character, Karen Greer in here, is not supposed to be a reimagining of Greer from the novels, but it's supposed to be his niece. So they are sort of in the back pocket keeping that idea, yes, we can cross over Jack Ryan with John Clark at some point, which, of course, they're both on Amazon. So that made me accept it a little bit more. I don't think she has a lot of presence in this movie. I think that her character being involved...
I think most people don't have a lot of presence in this movie.
And to be perfectly honest, Michael B. Jordan, I'm a huge Michael B. Jordan fan. I think this is one of his weaker performances, partly because the material sucks or this movie was just edited to pieces.
Yeah, I think my favorite performance of him probably is when he was in the Rocky movie.
Yeah, well, Creed movie, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even long before that, he was in a movie called Chronicle that I've talked about many times on here.
I've never seen it.
You did see it. That's the one with three teenage boys who get superpowers. It's kind of found footage style, like, you know, Paranormal Activity or whatever. They're just filming themselves with superpowers. One scene in the movie that grossed you out, and for that reason you said the movie sucked.
Yeah, I don't think I liked it.
Yeah, but Michael B. Jordan was amazing. He made a movie called Fruitvale Station before he even did Creed, which again was amazing. I didn't even think about this until afterwards, but Michael B. Jordan and Jamie Bell were in the Fantastic Four reboot a couple years ago. Another awful movie. One thing that disappointed me with this one, the filmmakers behind it, we have the director and the screenwriter from Sicario, Day of the Soldado. Now, the director had done Sicario 2. The writer, Taylor Sheridan, has done almost every movie I've loved in the last, like, 10 years. Hell or High Water, Sicario, Sicario 2, Wind River. He's an unbelievable screenwriter. I just feel like there's nothing in this movie. It's like everybody sort of said, hey, we're going to make a big... Without Remorse, Rainbow Six, you know, franchise here. We got a lot of money behind it. Let's get a lot of talented people and everybody can just phone it in.
You know, I can't really speak as far as talent goes, but if they wanted this movie to be better, they should have had more eye candy and more hotness. Like I said earlier, there was that one part of the movie where, you know, he was getting himself ready to fight and he was all... rubbing the water all over himself, ready to fight and beat all those other people up. And if they had more scenes like that, I would have liked it more. It would have bumped it up a couple of notches.
So you didn't like Jamie Bell?
No.
You don't like Jamie Bell?
He looks like a goblin right there. He doesn't look like a goblin in the movie, but that picture, he looks like a goblin.
Well, I was going to say, are you aware that he's one of the people that was... This isn't one of these internet rumor things, but one of the people who was, like, strongly rumored, as in there was some legitimate evidence that they had met with him to play James Bond had Daniel Craig stepped down.
No, he's not nearly handsome enough.
I mean, first of all, this one picture is Eddie Redmayne, not Jamie Bell. he's one of these guys, because of his charisma, I could see him playing James Bond. He was also in the movie Jumper, if you remember, movies you would have seen. He's most well known for Billy Elliot, where he was a kid, but... the movie Jumper with Hayden Christensen.
Not trying to be mean at all, because, you know, if he ever happens to listen to this or anything like that, I don't want to hurt his feelings.
I'm a huge Jamie Bell fan.
But he's not handsome enough to play James Bond.
You know that was the same argument everybody made when they picked Daniel Craig originally?
He's hot, though.
You say that now, but nobody thought it before he was James Bond.
No.
There's a lot of people angry.
Yeah.
Putting that aside, there
are some people where, you know what, I could say that, and then I'll eat my... What is that phrase that people...
Please don't finish that sentence.
You know, where you eat your shorts. I don't know.
Eat your words?
Eat your words. no, but, like, for example, Ben Affleck playing Batman. I was like... And you don't have to be handsome to play Batman, but I was like, nah, I couldn't see him playing Batman at all. Like, seriously, that's just...
I got another one for you.
That's just the weirdest thing ever. And then when I saw him, what was it, Batman and Superman, where he was doing his workout, I was like, okay, I'm a fan.
Okay, but I gotta...
I'm on board.
The trailers for Joker come out. You're talking about how bad the movie looks. You're talking about this guy does not look like the Joker. This guy looks awful as a Joker. And I try to tell you, it's like, Joaquin Phoenix is the Joker in real life. You were so 100% adamant he is going to be awful as the Joker. And he won the Oscar.
He was great, but I do have to say that... You know, it's so hard.
We're talking more about the casting of James Bond and Batman than we are without remorse. That really tells you a lot about the movie.
It does, I know. But you see, it's so hard, though, because, like, when you're talking about Jack Nicholson and Heath Ledger, they were so amazing as the Joker, but they had different takes on it. It's kind it's kind of hard to rank them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with James Bond or Batman or John Clark, right?
Like, even Jack.
Are you a Liev Schreiber guy? Everybody's like, are you Michael Keaton, you know, Ben Affleck,
like, you know,
Christian Bale? Are you William Dafoe, Liev Schreiber, or Michael B. Jordan?
Like, Heath Ledger, he was just completely off his rocker, just nuts. He was a psychopath, you know, and in the new Joker movie, Joaquin Phoenix, he's just kind of this broken guy who's just mentally
unstable.
Yeah, unstable. And with Jack Nicholson, he didn't seem like he was a psychopath at all. He was cruel and he was just
charming.
He was a bad guy but charming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So back to Without Remorse.
Sorry.
Really, there's not much to talk. I feel bad.
I really like the Joker. Sorry.
I feel bad because I was so excited about this movie, and there is nothing wrong with it. Like, this is better than Mortal Kombat. You know, sorry to say.
Come on.
But I can't see myself going away. There's a couple of sequences that were really good. I think when John Clark gets to do his thing, when there's a great sequence where he's sort of ambushing a person at airport, that one sequence alone is worth this movie. To me, this felt a lot like the second Jack Reacher movie. Partly, you know, just in terms of a book that really disappoints in the movie. The second Jack Reacher movie, Never Go Back. I mean, the book is one of the best books they ever had. Of the Jack Reacher books, that is. Different from Jack Ryan, but the movie just felt like there was something that was like, yeah, let's change this just for the sake of changing it. It felt very TV production. I felt the same thing with this. Like, I had a hard time. This might have benefited from seeing it on the big screen, even though I don't feel like this isn't Godzilla versus Kong where you feel like you have to see it on a big screen. But to me, this felt very TV pilot for a movie. This was like, okay, here's the first episode of the John Clark TV series. It's going to be a companion to the Jack Ryan TV series on Amazon, you know?
To show you how much this movie meant to me, I just realized when I was talking about the Joker that I didn't bring up one actor that was the Joker too. Wasn't it the guy
Jared Leto?
He was like the gay cowboy or something?
The gay cowboy? Jared Leto?
In a movie, didn't he play a gay cowboy?
No, he played a guy who I think had or was going through a sex change who was dying of AIDS.
Oh, okay.
Gay cowboy?
I'm thinking wrong movie, but
Dallas Buyers Club.
But the right character, though. Anyway.
Oh, let's give Jared Leto an Oscar for 5 minutes of screen time. Yeah, don't even get me started.
But he wasn't really seen as the Joker very much, so I couldn't rank him at all.
Sure he was. He was in that movie just as much as, well, not as much as Joaquin Phoenix.
I think he's probably like bottom of the barrel Joker for me.
I am not a Jared Leto fan, but I actually appreciate his Joker more than most people do. Anyways, thank you for joining us for our review of Jokers. Ranking the Jokers here. Without Remorse, like I said, a couple of good sequences in there. To me, this felt too small. There was a plane crash sequence, which I think was really good. I feel like they went into this movie kind of like that second Jack Reacher movie. Let's change certain things for the sake of changing.
This movie needed more Keanu.
Okay. But the second Jack Reacher movie, it felt like they changed things because, like, well, we got to be different from the book. And instead of being better, let's just be different. It felt smaller scale, like it could have just been a TV production. This is very similar to me. A couple of really great sequences I think would have benefited to see on the big screen. But overall, the movie's just kind of forgettable. It's just there. It's okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Are you going to buy it, rent it, or bin it?
Nah, bin it.
You're going to bin this?
Yeah.
I still enjoyed it
enough.
Like
I said, I'll watch it on TV if it comes up, but I'm not going to pay money for it.
Look, I think that this movie has more effort into it than Mortal Kombat. I think that it's still slightly more interesting than Mortal Kombat. This is going to be a rent, which it saddens me to say because I love all of Tom Clancy's adaptations that have been. If I were to rank all the Tom Clancy adaptations, taking the Jack Ryan TV series out, because that's why you keep smiling as if you're about to say something. Oh, this is going to be so funny.
No, I was just thinking that I should torture you by saying that we reviewed that The Craft.
Oh, that was awful.
Yeah, I know.
It makes me nauseous.
But we reviewed the old one. I was going to say I should torture you by getting me, you, and Rossi to review the new one.
Yeah, you know, every time you say that, I'm going to take you up on it because then in return, I say, fine, then you're reviewing this with me. You want to do the new Craft? We will do it, but you're doing whatever I want after that.
I do.
And it will be a review, by the way, people. Don't want you getting the wrong idea about our marriage.
I do anyways, because I do it to help you, because I'm a great wife.
Yes.
I am.
And by the way, these are our most listened to episodes with you on it, because you will listen to yourself over and over again.
No, I've never downloaded a single one.
Yeah, you just wait till you make the best of it. You keep playing those over and over. I'm not going to go as far as bin this movie. It's a rent. It's an okay movie. If I'm ranking all, I mean, the original three Jack Ryan movies are the best. I always have a hard time picking between Hunt for Red October, Clear and Present Danger, and Patriot Games. Some of All Fears, I think the first half of that movie is garbage. I think the second half of that movie is fantastic. So that one's sort of in the middle for me. Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit was, you know, maybe not everything it could have been. Again, original story lacking from not using enough Tom Clancy material. But Shadow Recruit, I thought, had more going for it than most people give it credit for. And then there's this. And I would rank this lower than all the others, because it just, it felt rushed. It felt like it needed a little bit more inspiration. Take something else from the books. Even create more original story that's just more original. I don't know.
But, I concur.
But do you want to see Rainbow Six? Because Rainbow Six, I'm going to tell you, is going to be very different from this.
No.
You don't want to see Rainbow Six?
No.
Rainbow Six,
but I'll watch it. But I'll watch it if you want to, I guess.
Like, here's the thing.
You just asked me if I wanted to watch Rambo, and I'm like, that's totally like a guy's movie. I don't want to watch that.
You said that, and then I said, Jamie, you went to bed watching John Wick every night for months straight.
Yeah.
John Wick is the exact same movie as Rambo. It's just it takes place in the city instead of in the woods.
We're talking about Keanu. Okay. I want
Sylvester Stallone.
You know what? What girl in her right mind wouldn't want to dream about Keanu every night?
Or man.
Or man.
But come on, Sylvester Stallone. But that's a separate argument. First Blood, the first Rambo movie, is the exact same movie as John Wick. It's just that one guy is going through post-traumatic stress, and one guy snaps because they killed his dog.
I
love John Wick.
I don't care that both movies are great. That man could literally be old enough to be my father. He is hot.
Let's do a count on how many times Keanu Reeves comes up on episodes we don't even cover Keanu Reeves on. So is Willem Dafoe.
And you know what? I'm sorry, but I liked him before he was like the most popular thing ever. He has been my favorite since I was like, you know.
What year were you born?
89.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure came out that year. That's when he became a big thing. Liked him in the womb.
No, but I'm saying for as far as like women like considering him to be like the biggest sex thing.
Okay. You're talking this generation though.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You go back to 1994. Oh, there were a lot of people like you.
But you know what, though? I was, like, 10 years old, and even though I wasn't a teenager yet, I had feelings at 10 years old John Wick.
Funny story here, okay?
Funny
story, Jamie. There's a magazine called Spin Magazine. It was kind of like Rolling Stone magazine, and I remember in the mid-90s getting a Spin Magazine, their end-of-the-year issue, and they would have their reader polls, and one of the things they had in there was, who's the sexiest male rock star, who's the sexiest female rock star?
Do you realize that when you said that word that you got a little quiet?
Because you're
still so timid. Like, you're like, who's the sexiest person ever?
I was burping, but anyways, I was trying to cover my burp. But thank you for calling out my bodily flatulence.
You're being like, Casper, burp!
Okay, but
and he laughs.
Keanu Reeves was technically in a band. He made their top list in the mid-90s of sexiest male rock stars. And even in the article, I remember them writing saying, so this is a bit of a stretch, but it just shows you how big Keanu Reeves is right now, that he's up there with Eddie Vedder and Chris Cornell or whatever.
Oh, he's hot.
Okay, but without remorse, Rainbow Six, okay? Now, where this movie, I think, lacks a little bit, I'm more excited for Rainbow Six because they did go all out with the action of this. They had some great sequences. Rainbow Six has the type of story that I don't feel you need to change. It is very over the top. Tom Clancy is very grounded in reality. Rainbow Six, the book, is essentially, I'm not going to say an all-out 70s James Bond movie, but it is like at least a 1960s James Bond movie. I mean, it is world domination, ridiculous terrorist. Like, it is fun. So I'm really excited for Rainbow Six.
What's with that trick pool table?
I'm really pumped for the Rainbow Six movie because, again, you get the team getting pulled together. I mean, Rainbow Six, the novel, was 900 pages. I said how I was a little bit timid to read without remorse because I think it was 700 pages. I read 900 pages of Rainbow Six as a teenager because it was just that much fun. So I'm on board for Rainbow Six.
You read it in between watching the TLC music videos.
Exactly, yes. Pornography. I was watching pornography. Do you remember the Simpsons episode of that?
Yes.
Yeah, you do? Okay.
Yes. Pornography.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Atlanta Falcons?
Atlanta Falcons, yes. All right. So, despite the fact this is a mild rent for me, when Rainbow Six comes out, I'm there. I mean, I'm there. If it's in theaters, I'm there opening showing of opening day.
Come on, let's be real.
There's enough promise with this movie that I still... I'm not one of these people who... I'm going to go on a bit of a rant here for a second. I'm sorry we're going a bit long, Jamie. But I'm not one of these people who believes, okay, this movie didn't 100% work. Let's cancel the franchise. Like, it still bothers me that they just canceled that Universal Dark Universe or whatever because some people didn't like The Mummy.
Personally, I know. I hate that when they do that with TV series, too. Like, you remember V?
Yeah, V, great... well, people actually liked V, but what I'm talking about is more like The Mummy movie, right? Oh, people weren't absolutely crazy about this, so let's cancel the rest of the franchise. The rest of the franchise is dealing with different characters,
yeah,
different creative crews, different writers, different directors,
different
everything different.
And everything, yeah.
It's like
that Mummy movie did kind of suck, though. Sorry,
I liked it, but anyways, I didn't love it.
I would have loved to see Frankenstein, though. Like, you're right. Yeah. I would have liked to see the other ones.
Because it's completely different. It's the same thing with Marvel movies, you know. Like, okay, so
it's like, oh, so Superman didn't work out. Let's not make Batman.
Yeah, exactly. And even if it's something like this, where it's one franchise, one character. If the first movie shows even the slightest bit of promise, I'm still on board with a sequel. This movie, I'm not going to say it sucked, but it came close to sucking at times. Without Remorse is not a great movie. I was quite disappointed with it, but I could care less. You can learn from mistakes, and you got better source material for the next one, so I'm 100% on board for Rainbow Six still.
How would you even label this movie? Not espionage.
Yeah, well, I'd say military espionage. Like, that's the thing. Jack Ryan would be more espionage. It's a lot more government politics and, spy analysis. John Clark is meant to be...
But it's different than James Bond.
He's a soldier involved with the CIA. So that would be the separation, is you're dealing with soldiers. You're talking about a military squad operating under the CIA. It's very... The end act of Zero Dark Thirty is what this would be, you know?
Now, that's a great movie.
Love that movie, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm on board for the sequel, Zero Dark 31.
And I know you like Jessica Chastain.
Well, who does? What man doesn't? Or woman?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to have dreams of her.
All right. Thanks for joining
he's
us.
Smiling so big.
We were meant to bring you, again, we've been promising it for about a couple weeks now, the start of our good horror sequels month in lead up to Quiet Place, which, by the way, we weren't even 100% sure that movie was coming out until, I think, 24, 48 hours ago when they said, yes, this movie is finally coming out at the end of May.
Good.
But only in theaters. Only in theaters. So unless something reopens here, we're not watching it until who knows when.
Until 2025 when everything reopens again.
Yes. But we're going to be talking 10 Cloverfield Lane. If we can get these all done, maybe our month can extend a little bit. We're hopefully going to start recording these tomorrow and definitely have it out by next weekend. But
tell me your movies.
10 Cloverfield Lane, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, which I'm really excited about, which is a little bit odd for the rest of this, but it's a blast, that movie. That's what we're calling it, good horror sequels, because some people think that movie's garbage. Other people think it's brilliant.
Okay.
I think it's a bit in between. I love it. The Strangers Pray at Night, which I absolutely love.
Oh, you showed me that one recently.
Absolutely love The Strangers Pray at Night. And Doctor Sleep. So these are all
horror
sequels.
Can I be on that one?
Sure.
That one's amazing.
Yeah.
And you know how big of a fan of I am of the original and that one.
Yeah. But all of these are horror sequels that are like loosely connected. You don't have to see the original, which is kind of why we're doing this. But 10 Cloverfield Lane has started off, and I'm very excited about that. We've been promising that for, I think, 3 weeks in a row, and we're actually going to bring it to you one of these days.
Hopefully.
All right. Been a great episode, Jamie.
Thanks for taking the lead on that one.
Thanks for letting me take the lead. My name is Colin, and remember that time I was all shirtless and covered in water and doing violent things?
My name is Jamie, and I belong to the Atlanta Falcons.
Thanks for downloading this episode from the Oz Network. Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing to the podcast via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or by copying our RSS feed into your preferred podcast provider. And while you're there, please drop us a rating and leave us some feedback. You can also be sure to stay up to date with all the latest episodes and happenings from the show, as well as find out how you can get involved in upcoming episodes by following our social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as getting everything you need under one roof at theoznetwork.net. Thanks once again for listening, and we'll speak to you next time.